you, Mr. President. You said that the pandemic is disappearing, but we lost 60,000 Americans this week. And just in this room, you have dozens of people. You're not following the guidelines in New Jersey, which say you should not have more.
No, they don't have the political activity. You're wrong with that, because it's a political activity. They have exceptions, political activity, and it's also a peaceful protest. So when you have, and as you know, they look like they all have, pretty much all have masks. But, you know, you have an exclusion in the law that says peaceful protest or political activity, right? In fact, specifically, yeah, it says exactly political activity or peaceful protest. And you could call it political activity, but I call it peaceful protest because they heard you were covering up. And they know the news is fake.
Something is going on. Some of us see it. Some of us feel it. It's time to expand your thinking. You will need to reset everything you thought you knew about the world, about the people you trust, about history, about yourself.
We look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth. It was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before.
Fellow Americans and citizens of the world, now it is our turn to shine.
Muriel Bowser,
wherever
is the mayor
we are, we will become the planet when we choose to reject what they call globalism. We recognize the words they use to bend us to their will, and we say no more. It's time to turn off the media, follow your instincts, trust yourself, and be the plan. May God bless America and the world.
Bowser has banned gatherings in the city of more than 50 people, and apparently there were more than that at the cookout where the shooting occurred. This enraged Muriel Bowser. Here's what the mayor said about the shooting yesterday. Quote, "It's important as a community that we have a zero tolerance for this kind of activity," end quote. Now, to be perfectly clear, Mayor Bowser was not talking about the mass shootings. When she said we need zero tolerance, Bowser is happy to tolerate violence. She does every day. She often encourages violence. What Bowser won't put up with is citizens violating her lockdown orders. Bowser's chief of police, a man called Peter Newsham, reiterated that point. Quote, "We can't have these large gatherings in the city," the chief said. In other words, shootings are acceptable as long as the police don't commit them. But disobey our corona decrees and we will come for you. The media wholeheartedly agree with this, of course. Violence does not bother them. They encourage it regularly. Disobedience bothers them. This weekend, motorcycle riders, mostly on Harley-Davidsons, from all over the country gathered in Sturgis, South Dakota for their annual rally, the Sturgis Rally. Some of them forgot their masks. This outraged our news media. The people on motorcycles were too masculine, too patriotic, therefore too unlikely to vote for Joe Biden to go uncriticized. So the media spent a lot of the weekend trying to shame the bikers into disappearing. In other words, as some of the poorest people in Washington bled onto the sidewalk, this is what your news anchors talked about.
A bike rally is drawing tens of thousands of people to a small town in South Dakota for what doctors warn could turn into a coronavirus super spreader event.
Not seeing a lot of masks there. Very little social distancing is what we're hearing from our team on the ground.
Tell people what the odds are, tell people what the risks and the dangers are, and let them decide and expect them to be responsible.
To others, that event, a reckless affront to common sense and a likely coronavirus super spreader.
Oh, super spreaders. In other words, men who are unapologetically male. They hate that. Meanwhile, the city of Washington, back in the real world, continued to spiral toward chaos. In Georgetown, one of the richest, most liberal neighborhoods in the city, certainly in the country, a group of thugs marched down residential streets in the middle of the night to make certain that no one was sleeping. People who live there must have been confused. In Georgetown, Black Lives Matter yard signs are about as common as designer dog breeds, very common. The residents apparently thought they'd bought themselves peace by paying their indulgences with the correct political slogans, but they hadn't. The fact their neighborhood is still safe is now considered a crime, and the mob made that very clear. shortage of super spreaders at Sturgis. How dare they ride motorcycles without masks? Meanwhile, back in Georgetown, again, the real world, just in case the residents there didn't feel sufficiently threatened, the mob then barricaded Key Bridge, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It's the main artery from Georgetown out of the city. Blocking main arteries out of cities is an obvious threat to public safety. It's far more dangerous than any over-attended cookout. But police didn't stop it. They helped the mob. And once again, the media collectively ignored all of it. And what exactly did the liberal, passive, heavily elderly residents of Georgetown do to deserve this kind of abuse and harassment from a mob of Joe Biden voters? That's the core question. But no one on television wanted to talk about that. So again, they just ignored the entire thing. They're doing it all over the country. Story after story ignored, disappeared down the memory hole because it's politically inconvenient. In Los Angeles, for example, a city council member called Mike Bonin voted to slash the LAPD budget by $150 million. He's very opposed to the police. But that didn't stop him from calling the police. Since April, it turns out that cops have been called to Bonin's home 8 separate times, often to deal with, surprise, surprise, protesters. Bonin's defense is that he didn't make the calls. No, somehow the LAPD, with collusion from right-wing elements, made the calls. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. But it's good enough for the newspapers in Los Angeles. They're not covering the story. It's not a story. Right. Guy who votes to defund the police calls them 8 times to keep the lunatics from coming through his front door. Not a story. Okay. Last Thursday, meanwhile, in Portland, Oregon, a city that effectively no longer has a government, rioters threw paint on an elderly woman. What was her crime? She made the mistake of trying to stop them from destroying a building. Here's why this is so interesting. As the mob attacked her, they explained their agenda. Quote, "This isn't your world anymore," they shouted. "Put your mask on." Boy, does that tell you everything. Meanwhile, in the city of Chicago, rioters have dropped any pretense of ideology. Sure, they'll vote for Joe Biden, obviously, but this isn't about the election. They just want to steal things. And in effect, authorities there, as they are in so many places, are allowing them to do that. Early this morning, caravans of looters sacked stores in downtown Chicago. Here's part of it. What's the justification for that? There's always a story at the bottom of these things that the media repeat, allow them to believe it was justified. The pretext for that theft and destruction you just saw was a false report that a teenager had been executed by the police. It was a lie, as it turned out. It usually is a lie. In fact, a 20-year-old had been killed after shooting at the police. Whatever. We're so used to violence justified by lies that few people seem to notice the difference. And speaking of, just this weekend, Joe Biden honored Michael Brown. That was the man killed in Ferguson, Missouri, after he violently attacked a store owner on tape and then a cop. Joe Biden apparently doesn't remember that part. He seems to consider Michael Brown a martyr. It's hard to know who in America still believes these lies. Most people no longer seem to believe anything they hear from politicians. When everything is political, we learn to trust nothing. But one thing that is real and will always be real is the debris left behind. Bullet holes are real. So are burned stores. So are boarded up windows and terrified neighbors. That will always be real. And we have it. So what will be the aftermath of all of this? What are America's cities going to look like a year from now? There's no question people will flee Georgetown. They may have BLM signs in their driveways. It doesn't mean they want screaming BLM lunatics on their streets. They don't. Nobody does, actually, no matter what they tell you. No matter what color they are. No one likes that. That's true for people in Georgetown, in Portland, Oregon, in San Francisco, in Chicago, New York, any other place where order and decency have disappeared. People will not live long with chaos. No matter what they tell you, no matter what signs they put in their yard, they will leave. And many of them have already left. We're about to see one of the great demographic shifts in American history. Unless the insanity stops, and soon, our biggest cities will revert to what they were 50 years ago. Broke, dirty, and dangerous. On the bright side, we'll have resolved the gentrification problem. So a lot of college professors will pat themselves in the back. Peter Kirsenow is a commissioner on the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, and we're happy to have him on the show regularly, including tonight. Dr. Kirsenow, thanks so much for coming on. The extent to which we've seen this movie before every day makes my head swim. We have seen almost a perfect replay of this. We know what happens. If you would just briefly summarize what is almost inevitably going to happen when these riots stop.
This has happened so many times, like you said. This is a repeating movie. We saw it back during the Michael Brown incident, the Freddie Gray incident, Ferguson in Baltimore, and now we're seeing it on steroids. And for a while, shortly after the George Floyd incident, for a few weeks, the left in the media gained some advantage. There was a shift in the political and cultural landscape as a result of their narrative that systemic racism and chaos was abroad, and they thought that that would have a political effect, a harm on Trump, but it quickly spiraled out of control. And that's why I think, as you indicated in your open, that the media and the left don't want to report much about it, and they don't want to ascribe at least anything related to systemic racism to this. And that's why they have engaged in effectively a blackout of these incidents. But what we see on the ground is what was predicted after Ferguson, after Baltimore, and that is more than double-digit spikes in the crime rate. In 36 of the largest 50 cities in the United States, since June, we've had double-digit spikes in homicide rates, let alone other types of violent crimes. That's going to persist. Many big cities, if not the majority of big cities, have already equaled their 2019 homicide totals by today. Again, eminently predictable. And the backlash that the left and the media are witnessing is contributing to the blackout, because they're concerned now that because of the insanity related to defund the police is now going to redound to the detriment of the left, Democrats, and it's going to have a cultural impact also. As you indicated, people are going to be fleeing the cities. Yeah. In inner city neighborhoods, we've seen this over and over and over again, and now it's metastasizing into the broader environs, such as, you know, the Magnificent Mile in Chicago and more elite neighborhoods. And the left understands, Democrats understand, this does not help their candidate in November. And because the media is carrying the water quite blatantly now for the left and for Democrats, they will shut this down.
The problem is you've got millions of unemployed young people who know they will not make as much as their parents. They know their future is dim, because it is. Why would they suddenly revert to the way they were a year ago? I mean, can the left get this under control past a certain point? I'm skeptical.
I don't think so. I think that, you know, they were riding a tiger for a while, and now it could very well devour them. This is different than Ferguson, and it is qualitatively and quantitatively different than Ferguson. Again, they actually tried to change the cultural, the sociological landscape, and that's going to take a while to put back that genie back in the bottle, to mix metaphors, but that's a real problem for them, especially now, because they're trapped. They know they must defeat Trump. They have no way out. They've been riding this for a while, and they don't want to antagonize the Black Lives Matter movement or the far left. By the same token, they know they're alienating just average everyday people who are saying, wait a minute, what happens to me? And here's the real troubling part for Democrats. 81% of blacks either want police presence to be the same or greater, because it's black neighborhoods, as usual, that suffer most. Now it's actually, as I said, it's spreading out into other neighborhoods, too. But if just 2 to 3% of those individuals shift their vote to Trump, game over.
Amazing. Peter Kirsenow, thank you so much for that.
Thanks, Tucker.
The Russia collusion story was so crazy, it's hard to believe that almost everyone with a college degree in this country bought into it just last year. You thought it was gone, but it's not. It was just hibernating. It's now back in full force. You need to be afraid, Nancy Pelosi says, because Russia is the country that controls us. We'll be right back. You might have thought this was a democracy in which voters choose their leaders. Oh, no, no, no. In this country, Vladimir Putin alone chooses who the president is. Nancy Pelosi believes that. Watch.
The Chinese, what they said is China would prefer Joe Biden. Whether they do, that's their conclusion, that they would prefer Joe Biden. Russia is actively 24/7 interfering in our election. They did so in 2016, and they are doing so now. Or more, the American people, I believe, think they should decide who the president of the United States is, not Vladimir Putin making that decision for us.
Oh, yes. Vladimir Putin making that decision for us. You thought it was gone forever because it was too stupid to continue, but no, the Russia lunacy is back. You'll notice that Pelosi in that clip acknowledged that China does want Joe Biden to win, but China's not a big deal compared to Russia. Russia's an economy the size of Texas. It's very powerful, unlike China, so pay no attention to the Chinese buying full-page infomercials in Jeff Bezos's Washington Post, or spying on American senators for decades, or taking over the world economy, or loosing at a pandemic on the world. No, no, no. Russia is the country that controls our marionette strings. Eric Swola has long believed this. Watch.
With this specificity, does that call into greater question the goings-on of Trump allies like Senator Ron Johnson, who I believe has picked up and is running with some of this Kremlin-backed propaganda about Joe Biden?
Here we go again, Nicole. Yeah. This sounds awfully familiar. Members of the U.S. Senate are acting as Russian launderers of this information to bring down a U.S. candidate. That's reprehensible. It should stop.
Yeah. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin seems like a kind of sensible, moderate, sort of businessman character, right? Choice of the Chamber of Commerce. No, all a cover. Ron Johnson is working for Vladimir Putin. MSNBC is on the case.
Russia is doing it again. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said it best with Donald Trump, quote, all roads lead to Putin.
We see now useful idiots in the United States Senate that are passing off to the American people information that's incepted by the Russian intelligence services intended to undermine faith in the American system.
Russia, can't believe we're saying this, has friends in the U.S. Senate who are helping Russia disseminate their talking points here.
Russia is actively working to, quote, denigrate Joe Biden. My question for you is, Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, is also actively working to denigrate Joe Biden. Are they in cahoots?
Because when you criticize Joe Biden, you're working for Putin. Hard to believe this is all happening. Glenn Beck, our friend, has been watching all of this for the past 4 years. He's, of course, an author, founder of The Blaze. You know Glenn Beck, and we're happy to have him on tonight. Glenn, thanks a lot for coming. What do you make of this?
I'm living in an Alice in Wonderland world where, you know, if I think if I drink that, then I get smaller. If I eat something, I get larger. Nancy Pelosi, eat me. This is a completely upside down world, Tucker, where what they're saying is shocking. Russia might try to interfere in an election, which is weird because that's what I was reporting in 2014 and nobody would listen. They didn't care. Then in 2015, 2016, 2017, 18, 19, and they're not alone. Like China is this pious little country over there that, well, sure, we would rather have the guy that we have already purchased in Joe Biden, but we would never do any. We would never do anything nefarious at all. Do you have your Chinese mask on yet? I mean, I'm just saying, this is insane.
Well, how do they get? I mean, it's so, not only is it insane, but it's also very familiar. We spent 3 years hearing this. Who do they hope to sway by resurrecting this nonsense?
Morons? Really, morons. They have all been bought and purchased in the media. If you want to talk about swaying the election, let me just ask you a couple of questions. Why would we listen to a group of people who I think in Iowa are still counting the ballots for the primary, who are literally still counting the ballots in the New York City primary or the New York primary? When did that happen? It wasn't hours ago. It was weeks. You have 84,000 incorrect ballots sent to the New York voters. Incorrect ballot, absentee ballots, 84,000. You have 500,000 sent in just Virginia. You don't have trustworthy machines to do it. Now yes. You want to expand and make sure that everybody's voting by mail. And you also know, we all know, that Russia and China, hell, I think England might be a part of this at this point. They're all trying to create chaos. We're not serious about fixing this at all. No one is.
Now, that is such a smart point. I didn't even know that about the Iowa caucuses. That's like beyond belief. Glenn Beck, who always states it as clearly as anybody does and adds facts.
May
I say? Of course, go ahead.
Real quick, I just have to say, Tucker, I thank God every day that you are on television. I really do. I think you are the only person in mainstream media that is on it every night and people can trust. And I thank you for all of your hard work and research and the guts that it takes to do this every single day. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you, Glenn. I appreciate that. Not a setup. Great to see you. Thanks a million.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, schools are set to reopen this month. The media don't want that because if the country returns to normal, maybe we won't elect Joe Biden. Details ahead. Plus, Andrew Cuomo should be apologizing for his worst in the nation coronavirus response, putting COVID-positive people inside nursing homes. But as you can imagine, he's not apologizing. He's found someone else to blame. We'll tell you who. Nothing helps the Joe Biden for president campaign more directly than hysteria over the coronavirus. So the media, of course, are doing everything they can to fan it, including to stop schools from opening up. The New York Times, CBS News, CNN are just some of the many media outlets running alarmist articles about how 97,000 children have tested positive for the Wuhan coronavirus. That is true, but this is also true. A total of 15 children in that age range have died of the virus since February. Many, many thousands have died of other causes, for some perspective. Fox News medical correspondent Mark Siegel joins us tonight for a run through the numbers. Dr. Siegel, good to see you.
Good to see you, Tucker. And you know what some of those things that children have died from are and will continue to be if the schools stay closed? Child abuse, which is going unreported. Lack of vaccinations, immunizations against other diseases like measles. Not getting proper nutrition. You're going to see starvation. You're going to see depression. You're going to see suicide, special needs not taken care of. All of that occurs if the schools don't open. Now, what do these 97,000 kids all have in common? All of them, almost all of them, have mild cases. The same time, CDC, and this did not go reported, 600 kids have been hospitalized since the beginning, way less than adults have been hospitalized. They get much milder cases. Now, what we have to do to reopen the schools, of course, is to provide virtual learning for those most at risk, teachers most at risk. We have to have an infrastructure in place. We have to teach our kids about how to take proper precautions. But we need our schools to be centers for learning and centers for socialization and social skills. That will decrease the amount of despair and deaths from non-COVID-related causes. We have to test everyone as well, and we should have prodigious testing. Here's one other thing we have to do, sadly. No hugs, please. Now, if you look at this pin, Tucker, you'll see this pin looks like something you might remember. No smoking, please. Let's give our kids all of these pins. No hugs, please, sadly. But I'm going to say this. With this pin or shirts, no hugs, please, guess what's going to happen? We're going to get 26 candidates for a vaccine coming out into clinical trials right now. Vaccines are going to emerge. We're going to beat this thing, and then this goes in the garbage, and we're all going to hug each other. In the meantime, Tucker, let's show our kids courage. They're looking to parents for leadership. Leadership says open the schools wherever we can, Tucker.
I don't know if I can go there. I'm a hugger. Sorry. Dr. Siegel, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Me too. Good to see you, Tucker.
So far, more than 25,000 New Yorkers have died from the Wuhan coronavirus. That's more than Germany and Canada combined. The governor of New York is a man called Andrew Cuomo, and a policy he put in place is heavily responsible for this. It was a nursing home policy, and it directed coronavirus positive patients back into the homes and prevented nursing homes from making them go to hospitals. That may have been the single biggest factor in New York's astronomical death count. Now, an honest leader would admit that and take responsibility for his poor decisions. But Governor Cuomo is not doing that. He is, needless to say, blaming everyone but himself.
Anyone who wants to ask why did the state do that with COVID patients in nursing home, it's because the state followed President Trump's CDC guidance. Who can we prosecute for those deaths? Nobody. Nobody. Mother Nature, God, and you had this political conspiracy theory that the deaths in nursing homes were preventable. I think it is all politically motivated. If anybody looked at the facts, they would know that it was wholly absurd on its face.
Janice Dean is our senior meteorologist here at Fox. She lost both of her in-laws in facilities licensed by New York State to the coronavirus. She knows a lot about this topic, and she joins us tonight. Janice, thanks so much for coming on. Now, I don't want to rub salt in this very fresh wound, but to hear the governor of New York pass the buck on to the president for his decision, how do you respond to that?
He's blamed everybody except the person that signed the mandate, the order to bring COVID patients into nursing homes, and that was Andrew Cuomo. He signed the order at the very beginning. He said, listen, if you have a problem with what happens in New York, you blame me. The buck stops at my desk. He has never taken any responsibility or accountability. And as you just played, he has blamed everyone except himself, God, Mother Nature. He's blamed Fox News. He's blamed the New York Post, Mother Nature. It never ends. And today, he continued to blame Fox News and says there doesn't need to be an independent investigation because the last investigation was done by himself into his administration. And of course, he came up clean. The people to blame were the nursing care workers and the visitors. And by the way, we weren't allowed to visit my in-laws before they died. So I don't believe that one.
So you live in New York, you work in New York, your family was devastated by this decision. Have you had a chance to tell Governor Cuomo that?
No, I had a chance to speak today. I filled out all the paperwork and I sent letters to assemblymen and lawmakers, New York state lawmakers, for the hearings today. They were actually August the 3rd, last Monday, and today. They couldn't fit me in last Monday, but they said that they would put me on today to give me my 5 minutes to talk about my in-laws and why I hold the governor partly responsible for their deaths. That invitation was rescinded after, you know, I was told that the chair said, you will have your 5 minutes, and I never got that today. So I thank you, Tucker, for being good on your word and having me on your program today.
We're always delighted to have you on the show, Janice, even under sad circumstances like this. I appreciate your coming on, and I'm really sorry once again.
Thank you for following the story. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Thank you. Well, Joe Biden, once you get underneath the man and into what he's actually proposing, has backed a series of proposals that the overwhelming majority of Americans disagree with. We're not talking about those proposals very often. Why not? That's next. By the way, we are all waiting for Joe Biden to pick his running mate. That is likely to happen sometime this week. To restate, we are hearing once again what we told you last week, that Susan Rice is the front runner for that job. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but as of right now, it looks like Susan Rice is the front runner for that job. Of course, we'll tell you when we learn more. We'll be right back. America just got a lot poorer and a lot more dangerous. People are very worried about those two problems. But over on the Joe Biden campaign, a major focus remains transgender issues. Whatever you think of that category of concerns, doesn't apply to many Americans. And yet a draft Democratic platform obtained by the Washington Examiner shows that the word transgender appears more often than the word inequality or the word taxes. Joe Biden supports allowing biological men, for example, to compete against biological women in sports. Polls show most Americans overwhelmingly oppose this idea. It hurts their daughters. So why isn't the Trump campaign mentioning this? One campaign claims men can get pregnant, which is insane, and the other campaign doesn't say anything about it. Well, Politico reports that top advisors to the campaign are reluctant to talk about it because it's embarrassing, so it goes unchallenged. Terry Schilling is the executive director of the American Principles Project. He's not embarrassed by it. He thinks it matters. He joins us tonight. Terry, thanks so much for coming on.
So, hey, thanks for having me, Tucker.
This is not a question of sexual liberation or live and let live. This is a question of denying science, biology, and changing the definition of biological sex. That's the foundation of all human society. So it's not really a small issue, okay? Mm-hmm. It's a big issue. Why isn't the re-election campaign mentioning this?
Look, Tucker, the thing about this issue is, frankly, I don't know why people aren't picking this up. We just got done with a poll. We surveyed over 7,000 voters in the top 10 swing states across the country. We found that three-quarters of Americans, including 53% of Joe Biden's own supporters, oppose allowing transgendered boys, that's boys that identify as girls, to compete in women's athletics. This is a supermajority. So, you know, first and foremost, as a political activist, I'm very concerned about their lack and a willingness to take this issue on. But frankly, as a father, you know, Tucker, I've got five kids, and hopefully my wife will give me four or five more. But my two oldest are girls. And frankly, you know, the idea that these guys are going to allow my daughters, who are both athletes, have their scholarships and their athletic opportunities taken away, it's incredibly stupid. And we need to push the Republican Party to run hard on these issues because there's no losing this whatsoever.
It's not about attacking people who choose to call themselves whatever they choose to call themselves is fine. I think most Americans are very tolerant in that way. But the idea that we have to pretend there is no difference between men and women, boys and girls, is totally insane. So why would we sit back and let people force us to nod as they say something we all know is false?
Well, Tucker, that's the thing. We're not letting them do that. And that's the whole point of American Principles Project is we're building the NRA for families. You know, all these political organizations, they organize gun owners and seniors, but no one's there defending the family. And we decided to put this campaign together and not ask permission, you know, and that's what we're doing here. We're running the ads, we're forcing the issue, and we're going to show them how to attack Joe Biden and get some political points out
of
this.
Yeah, and defend reality, which I think is always worth defending. Terry, thank you very much. Good to see you.
Thanks, Tucker. Yep, you too.
Ever notice how the least impressive people are always also the least self-aware? That's very true at CNN. Greg Gutfeld has been watching in his spare time and joins us to explain. We'll be right back. CNN took a quick break from its usual programming, encouraging looting and pointless mask wearing outside, to take some jabs at this channel. Watch.
When you see entire media companies essentially exist to tear down Joe Biden, is there an equivalent to that on the left tearing down Trump?
There really isn't.
That's a really good point. Nobody criticizes Trump in the media. And I think what we need more of, people attacking Trump. Turns out the people who work over at the cable news network don't watch it. They watch this channel full time. So we dug up some clips for their edification.
It is what it is, Mr. President. It's a pandemic, and you are who you are. You don't give a damn.
The MAGA hat carries a certain connotation that provokes a conditioned reaction from many people, especially from marginalized people.
The word cult has been popping up more and more. You say the president is using mind control, but how is that provable?
He does not practice humanity. He does not practice decency. Okay. He does not love mercy. He is intentionally unkind. He is mean to opponents.
Are you listening? The president of the United States is a fraud and a con man.
He's human garbage and he practices mind control. So does Greg Gutfeld, by the way. He practices mind control. That's why the Greg Gutfeld show succeeds. It's why his new book, self-help for people who hate self-help sells so well. He joins us tonight. Greg, we need a channel, preferably a couple or maybe a dozen, that attack the president full-time. Where would you find a channel like that?
They're nowhere. I can't find them anywhere. Sometimes even at the airport when I'm trapped there, I'll go, if only there was something like CNN that would be on that would just incessantly tell me how evil America is. By the way, a CNN host saying there's no anti-Trump network, you're denying your existence, your achievement. That's like Neil Armstrong. That's like Neil Armstrong denying the moon landing or McDonald's denying the existence of hamburgers. No, you exist. It exists and you produce it daily. It's a massive industry and CNN is a hood ornament. It's why Mary Trump didn't need a publicist when you have Jeff Zucker pushing the book. By the way, I don't get why they deny this. It's their special sauce. This is like France denying mimes and, you know, mimes. Just denying mimes. But if you took all of the anti-Trump content from CNN, all you would have left is a case of empty Botox cartridges outside Don Lemon's dressing room.
I can't get over it. It's like France denying mimes. I was thinking maybe baguettes or camembert, but you went right for Marcel Marceau, and good for you. So does this suggest, since you are...
Mimes and escargots.
And escargots. Yes. A part-time shrink. Do you think the CNN anchor who made that point was sincere and just doesn't watch his own channel, or this was just a lie so obvious that he thought people might believe it?
I think he believes it. I think what you're watching is a bubble-induced confirmation bias, and it's almost like indistinguishable from kind of a delusion. Because in a way, it is a delusion. Think about all the things that CNN denies. They actually mocked and they laughed at the rise in shootings in Chicago. Was it like 3 weeks ago? Do you remember that, 3 or 4 weeks ago? They deny the looting. They like to conflate the looting and the vandalism with peaceful protest. And then they accuse others of that crime. They deny that Joe Biden is crumbling before their very eyes. I mean, they say, look, he can ride a bike. He can ride a bike. Fantastic. It's strange.
It is a coalition of the unhappy over there. I think all of the left is. The one thing they have in common is they hate their dads. It's true. That is totally true.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't think you can see return
sexist.
Right there.
That's sexist. They also hate their moms. That's sexist.
Probably there's some resentment there. Look, I'm not Freud, but I think you're onto something. Yeah. Greg Gutfeld, great to see you.
As always, it is great to see me.
France denying mimes, too good. We have burned through our entire hour. We're at the end. We'll be back tomorrow night, though, and every weeknight, 8 p.m., the show that is the sworn enemy of lying, pomposity, smugness, and groupthink. We have a surprise for you tonight. Live from New York, the great Sean Hannity stands by to take the baton.